I want to invite you to turn with me in your Bibles to Ephesians chapter 6. We finished John last week. It was a time of mourning for me. I slept in late Monday morning. Just sad. But there's great passages for us to explore as we continue moving forward. And we're going to do something this summer similar to what we did last summer. But before we do that, I want to take just a couple of weeks here and point us to this passage. I think it's important that even as we live our lives, remembering that we are just passing through this life, as we live our lives remembering that we're pilgrims or sojourners, that this is not our home, that we're in a land where we're exiles and that we long for home. It's important to remember that. And it's also important for us to remember the truths that we're going to find here in Ephesians chapter 6. Because the reality is that this life, it's not just some kind of vacation or some kind of picnic. We talk often, we talk about mission, we talk about that Christ has sent us out. It's His mission. He calls us to Himself, invites us in. We respond in faith by His grace. And then He says, Father, I send my people just as You have sent me. So the Father sends us, and He describes that as being sent out sheep amongst wolves. And I go to that imagery because, one, it's biblical, but two, I think it helps us remember the kind of life to expect. It doesn't say I send them out to a holiday on the sea, and it's just the wind's going to be behind their backs, and it's going to be sweet and beautiful and paradise. And no, those paradise is coming, but the world we live in is broken. The world we live in suffers the consequences of the fall, just like we all do as individuals. And so what happens is that we're sent out, and we're sent out into the darkness. And one of the ways that Scripture describes that is that we are living in a war. It's a constant battle. It's a constant war. It does not stop. In this lifetime, the world in which we live, as a result of the brokenness, as a result of the fall, as a result of the curse, there is not peacetime. And there will not be our entire lives here. And so we can either accept that and understand that and respond accordingly to that, or we can go out and pretend like the world in which we live is something that it's not. And I don't want that to happen to us. I was preaching revival in Bolivar, Tennessee. And after one of the days that I was there, we had some downtime, and there was a family, a couple, and they took Jenny and I to Shiloh, Tennessee. And I don't know why, but this came to my mind this week. We went out to Shiloh, and that's where a Civil War battle was fought there. And we went to the national park there, the Battle of Shiloh, or the Battle of Pittsburgh Landing. If you've ever heard of that, perhaps you've been to that park, that battlefield. But I remember going around that day and looking, and you know, you go to the different spots, and there's markers, and they tell you different things, and ultimately they say it's one of the bloodiest battles of the Civil War. That there were over roughly 24,000 casualties and losses in a matter of 2 days. And as I was thinking about that this week, I was thinking, you know, if I would have been in Shiloh on April 6th or April 7th, 1862, there was a raging war going on there in Shiloh. I could respond any number of ways, but if I would have just walked outside think I'm just going to sit on my back porch and drink a glass of sweet tea, or maybe it's in the morning, so I'm going to have my coffee, and then I'm going to walk down and maybe do some fishing at the pond and just take a leisure stroll and pretend like there was no war. That would have been a really unwise thing to do, right? Because the reality was is that there was a raging war, and people were dying by the second at Shiloh, April 6th and 2nd, or 6th and 7th in 1862. If we disregard the reality of the battle that we're in, or if we think that we're going to just go out and become complacent with the war, the battle in which we're living in, it's going to happen. You will be easily overcome. You watch the news, or you look at, track the news, you see what's going on out there. You know what's happening. It's not just the world in which we live now. All of a sudden, it's our own nation, right? You see the confusion and the chaos in our nation. It's not only our nation, but then it becomes our state, right? And we see the confusion and chaos, and we see the wickedness and the darkness in the state. We thought, man, you know, if any state, those things wouldn't enter in, it would be the state of Texas. And then, not only that, it's not only out there in our state, but then our corner, our little piece of heaven up here in northeast Texas, where we feel especially just kind of safe. And now all of a sudden, things start coming into northeast Texas, and you think, I would have never imagined in my life that I would see or hear things like this, not just across the world, but now even here. And we keep thinking there's perhaps, let me speak for myself, that there's this somewhere we can find this kind of protection and we can barricade ourselves in from what's going on out there. And here's the reality. We can't. It's not just out there. It's here. It's often in our homes. We deal with it on a personal level every single day. And the question is this: how do we prepare for it? Do we acknowledge it? Do we recognize who we are? Do we recognize our identity in Christ? Do we understand the big picture of the world in which we live? We understand it from a spiritual perspective too. And do we heed the instruction and the explanation that began in verse 10? It says, the Word of God says, finally, be strong in the Lord and in the strength of His might. Put on the full armor of God so that you will be able to stand firm against the schemes of the devil. For our struggle is not against flesh and blood, but against rulers, against the powers, against the world forces of this darkness, against the spiritual forces of wickedness in the heavenly places. Therefore, take up the full armor of God so that you will be able to resist in the evil day, and having done everything, to stand firm. Verse 14. Stand firm, therefore, having girded your loins with truth, and having put on the breastplate of righteousness, and having shod your feet with the preparation of the gospel of peace. In addition to all, taking up the shield of faith, with which you will be able to extinguish all the flaming arrows of the evil one. Take the helmet of salvation and the sword of the Spirit, which is the Word of God. Verse 18. With all prayer and petition, pray at all times in the Spirit. And with this in view, be on the alert with all perseverance and petition for all the saints. May God add His blessing to the reading and study of His Word this morning. Please be seated. So we find here, I would say, is just the reality. This is the reality of the world in which we live. This wasn't just first century Palestine. This wasn't just a certain designated time period within the world. This is the world in which we live right now. The cursed, broken world is that there's a battle that's taking place. And that battle, we're told in verse 12. Read me verse 12. For our struggle is not against flesh and blood, but it is against the rulers, against the powers, against the world forces, against this darkness, against the spiritual forces of wickedness in the heavenly places. Our battle is not merely against human forces. Our battle is against evil, supernatural powers. That's it. Every day, the world in which we live, we go out and sometimes it's not even something that we see, maybe experience, maybe it manifests itself in various ways, but there's supernatural evil forces that are opposed to you every single day. As the sheep go out amongst wolves, as the light goes out into the darkness is a place where there's supernatural evil. And the foe there, our primary adversary, is the devil himself. We're told in 1 Peter chapter 5 that he roams about seeking to do what? To devour those whom he may. In the darkness, the devil is roaming about, seeking to steal and kill and destroy your faith, seeking to devour you. It's the reality of the world in which we live. The rulers, the powers, the world forces of this darkness, the spiritual forces of the wickedness in the heavenly places. You say, what is all that? It's kind of hard for me to understand. There's another way that Paul's already described it in Ephesians chapter 2. If you turn one page over, probably, I'm going to read to you the first few verses of Ephesians chapter 2. It gives us a little bit of context on what he's talking about here. Ephesians chapter 2, beginning in verse 1, says, you were dead, this is talking to us as believers, that we were dead in our trespasses and sins in which we formerly walked. Okay? So that's all of us. There's a time in our life when we were in the kingdom of darkness. Okay. We're transferred out of that kingdom into the kingdom of light, into the kingdom of Christ. Told in Colossians chapter 1 that God has transferred us. But we were in the kingdom of darkness, and those in the kingdom of darkness, it's a kingdom of death. So we were dead in our sin and transgression in that kingdom of darkness in which we all formerly walked according to the course of this world, according to the prince of the power of the air, of the spirit that is now walking in the sons of disobedience. And so that's us, that spirit and the sons of disobedience, that spirit was in us. Verse 3, among them we too all formerly lived in the lust of our flesh, indulging the desires of the flesh and of the mind. Two different struggles there, flesh and mind. We were indulging in those desires as sons of disobedience, as daughters of disobedience, desires of the flesh and of the mind. And we were by nature, the nature in which we were born, we were by nature children of wrath. We were dead in the darkness, and we were by nature children of wrath who were stood condemned. That's where we were. That's the darkness in which the world is presently living right now. That passage, as you know, I think one of the greatest verses in all of Scripture. The next verse, verse 4, but God... We're grateful that that's there. And we're grateful that God enters in, right? He enters into the darkness. He enters into the fray as he promised he would to rescue his people, to deliver his people from the darkness, from the death, from the wrath to come. God sent his son to rescue us and to get us out of there, transferred out of this kingdom of death into the kingdom of his son, the kingdom of light. Okay? That's That's where we're citizens of. We're exiles here. We're citizens here. We're coming. The time is coming when this is the kingdom in which we'll live for all eternity. What's going to last longest in your life? Eternity is. And being a citizen of this kingdom, and that's why it's prioritized over everything else in our life. But our mission is here. We're sent out here in the darkness. And it's real. And it's heavy. And there's one that's out there that schemes against you and against your family and against your children and against our communities and against our church and against everywhere else. He intentionally schemes against you. And he's really crafty. Right? He's really, really crafty. He's not trying to waste his time. I think about if you're a hunter, I don't know some of the other seasons as much, but especially deer hunting. Every year, they come out with more and more things to buy that might help you be a successful hunter. And so I walk into Academy or I walk into Walmart and I go to the hunting section and I look and there's all these different things that I need to be doing. I need to wash my clothes and a certain laundry detergent. I need to buy some bags after I wash my clothes to keep my clothes in these bags and seal them tight so that there's no possible way that any human scent would get on them. I need to buy these cover scents. Because these scents, certain times of year, right? So I need to buy these scents. I need to know what time of year it is, what's going on, and then I can get the ones that I need. And certain calls, I get certain calls, and I use certain calls certain times of the year because that's when they're most effective, or horns, or rattle. And again, there's a time and a place for to do all these things so that I might be successful. Very intentional, spend a lot of time in preparation, and then the hunt is on, right? Now, in case you're wondering, most of mine aren't successful. But we're not talking about me here, okay? In verse 13, we're told, verse 13, therefore, take up the full armor of God so that you will be able to resist in the evil day. Look with me in verse 11. Put on the full armor of God. And this time, instead of it saying resist the evil of the day, here's what it says. So that you will be able to stand firm against the schemes of the devil. The one hunting you and your family and your friends and everyone else is the devil himself. And he's a formidable foe. Listen to me. In and of ourselves, If I 1v1 the devil, if I go up against the devil, guess who's going to win? He is. He's greater than I am. His power, his wickedness, there's a power there that's even a supernatural power that the devil right now in this age that he employs. You and I, we can lock arms and together we can go against him. Guess who's going to win? He is. You say, brother, that's pretty discouraging news if you're telling us that's the reality, that's the world in which we live, and he's out there, and he's very intentional, and he's crafty as he's preparing how he's going to launch an attack on you and on your family and on your community. It's coming. He's not wasting his time. If it's not there right now, it's coming, right? He's intentional. He knows when you're most susceptible. He knows when you're most vulnerable. He knows when you're your weakest moment. And he brings the temptation. You know this. You've been tempted in those moments. He's not going to tempt you when it's easiest for you to say, oh, no, I'm not going to do that right now because there's 10 good reasons why that would be really dumb for me to do. It's when none of those reasons are there, and then the temptation comes, and you're like, oh, man, now I'm tempted to do this, and all the reasons why I shouldn't do it are kind of not here right now, and so maybe I think I'll go ahead and give myself over to this temptation. He's crafty. Like a fisherman chooses his bait, he's crafty. And in and of ourselves, this would be just awful news because we would be overwhelmed and we would lose the battle, okay? It's the true battle. We're engaged in a daily life or death struggle with Satan himself, and his power is great. Now, questions come up, I think, that are very natural. You read a text like this and you say, well, then how can I keep myself free from the devil? How can I stand firm in those moments of temptation or when the devil is coming after me? How can I protect my children, my family, my church, my community, insofar as I can participate in that? How can I serve them and protect them from his wickedness? First of all, I want to remind us that ultimately, just like it says in Ephesians chapter 2, but God. It's God who is the power and the strength and the source of what defeats the devil. It's God and God alone. So you and I can lock arms together, but apart from the power of the Holy Spirit of God, we will be overwhelmed. We will be overcome. But God. In Colossians chapter 1, let me just read it to you, where it says that, verse 13, for God, for he's the one who rescued us from the domain of darkness, and he transferred us into the kingdom of his beloved Son, in whom we have redemption and the forgiveness of sins. Who did that? Who transferred us? It's God. And he does that by grace. It's a good gift that he's given to us sinners. He's provided the way for sinners to be delivered. He's provided the way for sinners to have victory over sin, over death, over the devil. And he's done that through his Son, the Lord Jesus Christ. And all who respond to him in faith and are united to him, Christ alone, here's what happens. The Spirit of God comes and dwells within us, and we're united to Christ. It says, the power of God is made available to you, so then you can stand firm. The response is putting on the whole armor of God. Look at verse 11a. It says, put on the full armor of God. Here's this awful reality. So what do we do in response to this reality? We put on the full armor of God. Look at verse 13a. Therefore, take up the full armor of God. It says it again. Put on, take up, same thing, the full armor of God. We're going to talk about that. We're not going to work through all of it this week, but big picture, it's good for us to have big picture. Next week we'll kind of get smaller in there, but big picture this week, there's spiritual warfare that we live amongst. How do we respond to that? We respond by putting on the full armor of God. It says it again in verse 13c in kind of a different way, but it says, and having done everything, or having done all this, having put on, having taken up, and having put on the full armor of God, then again comes the exhortation, stand firm. Here's what happens when we put on the full armor of God. Ultimately, the full armor of God, there's seven parts that are listed here, and all of these things are spiritual. It's spiritual armor. Again, we're gonna talk more about it. It's spiritual armor. It's an internal battle. There's spiritual armor here. And all seven parts of this spiritual armor, ultimately, they all point to Christ. It's Christ. We put on Christ. What's the hope for you when you go out into this world? To not be easily overcome. To be able to stand instead of being knocked flat on your back. It's Christ. It's the Word of Christ. It's the Spirit of Christ. What's the hope for your children? We think about that as parents, grandparents. We think about our children and our grandchildren. And again, it just seems like, you know, there's things that are going on today that are that cause sleep loss, right? That can lead to anxiety. And we can do these things to protect them, and we can put measures in place we know that will protect them. But ultimately, we know that it's going to seep in. There's going to be access to it. So what is their hope? The full armor of God. Let me say it another way. Christ. That's their hope. Christ. His Word, His Spirit. So we feed it to Him. We feed Him the Word of Christ. We teach Him. We train Him. We raise Him up in the way of Christ, that they may not depart, that God would use that as a means of His grace to save them and to unite Himself to them and to empower them as we too would be empowered. It's Christ. With daily dependence upon God through Christ and His Spirit every single day. We talked about this in Sunday school this morning. Every single day. You get up and we have to immediately orient ourselves. Again, if I'm in war, if I was sent off, I was deployed and I was in a war and I was able to get some sleep that night, the next day I wake up. I'm assuming, I haven't been in that situation, but I'm assuming that probably one of the first things that I would need to do is just kind of come to grips with, this is where I'm at, this is the situation in which I live right now, and here's what's going on. And how do I need to respond to that moment by moment throughout this day? That's everything that's His becomes mine in Him. The strength in which Christ lived His mission is available to you to live your mission. So I don't have to read this about the truth of the mission field and be completely overwhelmed with fear, because I know I can go and I can do it, and I can be strong and I can stand upright and stand firm, not because of me, but because of He who is within me and keeping me. Okay? So you'll be strong. You put on the armor of God. You'll be strong in the Lord. That's the first result. The second one, verse 13. Look at me in verse 13. Second part of verse 13. We'll just start at the beginning. Therefore, take on the full armor of God so that, here's what we can tell us, here's what happens if we will, so that we will be able to resist in the evil day. Okay, this isn't talking about the day of the Lord. This is just talking about the evil of the day in which we live every day, I think. And if we want to resist that, when the arrows come, we have to have the armor of God on. I think of Star Wars. I don't know if you watch Star Wars or not, but the Jedi's, and they have the swords, you know. And then when the bad guy, they shoot the gun, and they'll deflect those, I guess you call them bullets. I don't know what you really call them. But anyways, they'll deflect them with that sword. We have a sword too. And when the arrows are shot, we deflect those arrows with the word of truth. If we don't have the word of truth, if we're not armored in that way, then what happens? They stick. And we're overcome. The imagery is helpful. But as we put on the armor of God, we're able to resist. And James chapter 4, verse 7 tells us that if we resist the devil, that he will do what? He will flee from you. He does not like defeat, brothers and sisters. You resist him because you're armored in Christ, then what happens is he moves elsewhere. We like that. I like that idea. Carry on. The last one I want to point you to is this. Look at me in 11, second part of verse 11. It says, put on the full armor of God so that you will be able to stand firm. Look with me again down in verse 13. It says, you'll be able to resist in the evil of the day, and having done everything, stand firm. Verse 14 even begins with, stand firm. So that's the goal. That's the goal, that when we go on mission, as we're going on mission, that we do it in a posture of standing. And we do it in a posture of standing firm. What brings that about is we clothe ourselves daily with the armor of God. As a result of that, there's strength, that's a supernatural strength that is greater than the strength of the devil. As a result of that strength, we're able to resist his schemes and his tactics. And as a result of being able to resist his schemes and his tactics, then, at the end of the day, guess what? We're standing. We're standing. We lay down. We pray. We thank God. And we wake up. And we do it again. By his grace. For his glory. Every single day that he entrusts to us until he returns or he takes us home. All right, let's pray together.